Well, I'm not going to keep you long. I'm going to preach part of a message. If you'd look in Psalm 19, and I've wrestled all for a little while now about what to give to you for tonight, and I was going to preach the whole psalm, but I may do that later, maybe next week or sometime, but I just want you to look at Psalm 19 and verse number 7, 8, 9, and 10. And maybe, like I said, I maybe come back sometime, preach the whole thing through next week or in the next weeks. But I want you to look at what the Word of God supplies us. And I know that some of you have pastored churches before. There's been, and many of you have been in leadership either here or others and other places. And you want the Lord's will to be done in a service. You really want Him to touch it. And sometimes that means that you just preach a strong evangelistic message and you get some evangelist that swings from the chandeliers and just lays it out there. But then other times it's not that. And I just always want the Lord's will to be done. I trust that I'm in His will as we preach these things. Look at verse number 7 of Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Many, more rather, to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. I want to just stop there and just preach for just a little while. It's just a little segment of the message I was going to preach. We'll get out on good time. I apologize. I know it's a little warm in here. I can tell it up here, and I know there's apologize for that, and apologize for the video glitches tonight. I know this is a shock to you, but sometimes the electronics get messed up here too. They do at your house and the power goes out or your internet or whatever, but sometimes it does here too, and I apologize for the inconvenience there. But I want you to look at this and see what the Word of God is. I want you to always remember as we get started tonight to think about this. Sometimes we think that the Word of God is just a bunch of things that we're not supposed to live and what you're not supposed to do. Sometimes we get that wrong impression of, well, it's just a bunch of thou shalt nots. And there's plenty of thou shalt nots in there. But I want to show you just a little different angle from those verses we just read. I trust it's a blessing. Father, be with us now is our prayer. Thank you for bringing Brother Abbott here. I pray that you'd bless him. Lord, I pray that you'd supply all of his needs as they head down to Pensacola and then head back over to France here later in just the coming months. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd bless his health. I pray that you would, Lord, protect his family, and I pray that you do great and mighty things through his children now, we pray, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name, amen. So not only is the Word of God just a list of thou shalt not, thou shalt not lie, that's still in there, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not, there's plenty of thou shalt nots in there. And sometimes when people are cynical, they think, well, that's all that is, just a book about all the things that you're not supposed to do, and there are a bunch of those in there. But I'd like to take you to the other side of that tonight and let you see as we read in our verses here that it's also telling us how to live so that we get the maximum amount of blessings. It's telling us to be right in the sight of the Lord and so that blessings will flow as God sends them our way. Do you know the Word of God tells us how to behave toward our neighbors? It tells us how we ought to treat fences and boundaries and how we ought to behave in certain ways. And I can promise you this, if you've ever been in a fight with your neighbor over some land dispute, you do well to do what the Bible says so that you know you're right and that you can be blessed. Not only that, the Bible tells us how to be blessed in our lives if we obey our parents, we honor our father and mother so that our long days may be long upon the earth and we have the blessings of God. So not only is the book that we read from and that you carry and that's sitting in your lap tonight, this book of things that, well, you're not supposed to do this and there's many you're not. You're not supposed to covet. You're not supposed to commit adultery. You're not supposed to do this. And there's others, many others. But there's also great truths in this book, and we see it here, that it teaches us how we can best be blessed. One such instance is in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, when it says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I take from that that every Christian in this room tonight, that when you do something wrong and the Holy Spirit whispers to you that you ought not to have done that, do you know the best thing you can do is immediately get it right with the Lord? And as one old preacher put it, keep your sin on short account. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so there's so many passages in the Scripture where God tells us what to do in the Word so that we're as blessed as we possibly can be. And there's people sitting in this room tonight. You're blessed where you're sitting because of the truths and the principles you found in the Word of God, and you follow those principles, you follow those precepts, and God has just poured out His blessings on you. Do you know there's many folks in this room that before you started giving to the Lord, you weren't as blessed in your money as you are now, but the Bible is true when it says it's more blessed to give than receive, and give it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together. And you found those practices in the Bible to be true. But let's look back where we see here. I want you to look in verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord, the Word of God, the principles and the precepts in the Word of God. The Bible says that the law of the Lord is perfect. Number one, it converts us. If you're saved in this room tonight, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We're saved because of the blessed Word of God, because somebody shared with you from its pages the truth of the gospel message. Maybe it was your mother, maybe it was your dad, maybe it was a Sunday school teacher, maybe it was a children's worker, maybe it was somebody at work where you a co-worker and you got saved later in life. But I'm saying this evening that yes, it's a lot of thou shalt nots, but it's some of those thou shalts, and the law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul, and we realize that the Word of God gives us the perfect amount or the perfect peace, and that is because our souls are saved if you're born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. But look at verse number 8. Not only do we see that it converts us, but verse number 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. I see here in verse number 2, the first part, that it makes us rejoice. Have you ever seen teenagers that are rebellious? And that they always have a chip on their shoulder, and sometimes they often have a hard time picking their eyes up and looking at an adult. Can I tell you the teenager that doesn't have his trouble picking his eyes up and looking at an adult? The one that doesn't have anything to hide. The one that's got everything all right between him and the Lord, between him and his mom, between him and his dad, between him and his teacher. I'm saying that it makes us rejoice when we follow the Word of God, when we follow what it says, it makes us rejoice. It brings that joy, rejoicing basically, just joy again. It brings that joy to us. So I'm telling you, my friend, if you want to have a joyful life, you want to have a life of rejoicing, you will find yourself parked in the pages of the Word of God, because it's what brings joy into your life. Not only does it convert us, but it also makes us rejoice. Look at the end of verse number 8. The Bible says not only does it do those things, but it also enlightens the eyes. I trust that you've had times in your life where the Lord has just directed you to a passage of Scripture, maybe in your normal Bible reading, and it's almost as if the Lord just shined the light on the pages of His Word, and He said, that's for you. You'd read those verses before, maybe dozens of times, but it seemed like the Lord just shined the spotlight from heaven on that page that day and said, that, my child, is yours. And the Word of God, it enlightens us. It shows us when you read those passages, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You've read the 23rd Psalm many times. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He does it. You've read that many times, but then when you're in a deep valley, you read it and the Lord seems to illuminate it for you and He enlightens your eyes. I'm saying that the Word of God not only converts us and not only rejoices us, but it also enlightens us. I want you to read on down. Verse number 9, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. In verse number 10, I want you to see here how it enriches us. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. The Bible teaches about itself, and it truly teaches it, that it enriches. Some of the greatest Christians go to this church, I believe, and there's many all around the world, of course, but some of the greatest Christians are in this church But can I tell you what enriches us as a Christian is when we spend our lives digging into the pages of this book. It brings true riches. I wish the richest people in the world were in this church. That's who I wish was here. No, I really do. I wish they were here and they had a very generous bone tonight. No, I do wish they were, but I'd rather take somebody rich in the Word of God and not rich in the things of the world if I had to make the choice. Oftentimes, those can go together, of course, but if one has to choose, be rich in the Word of God. And so not only does the Word of God convert us, not only does the Word of God make us rejoice in verse number 8 and enlighten us, but it enriches us. It makes us deep. They're desired, more desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And then the last thing is this, in verse number 10, it also sweetens us up. Now, I've told you this before. Do you know there's a couple philosophies out there. You know, some people get old and grouchy, right? We know some of those, correct? You say, no, him. I live with him. Like that one lady went to the doctor and said, well, she was waking up kind of, you know, sad, waking up in bad ways. Said, what, do you wake up grumpy? Said, no, I just let him sleep as long as I can. You wake up grumpy, you wake up in a bad mood. There's many people that do that. So there's people that get old and grouchy. But then there's another group of people, they get old and they get sweet. I've already mentioned this to you, so it's not like it's just my thoughts. I don't know if it's in the scriptures or not. But I think that maybe as you get older, you just act the way you wanted to act all along. But youth kind of kept the dam there in place so that you didn't act how you wanted to. You were grumpy all along. You just knew that wasn't very advantageous to let it be known. You knew that it wasn't very good for your job. You knew it wasn't very good for your standing. So you held it back and you smiled even though you wanted to really lace them out. But now that you've gotten old, you don't have a job to worry about. Now that you're old, you don't have to worry about those things. And so you just act like you wanted to all along. And those other people, they were sweet all along. But sometimes they would hold back things because maybe it wasn't appropriate or there wasn't that or wasn't this. And so they just let it be known. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it is interesting. But I do know this. The Bible says here about God's word, it's more desire to be it's more to be desired than gold, but it's also sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And I believe that as we read the word of God, it not only enriches us, but it sweetens us as well. Now, I don't think that means you're going to be syrupy sweet just because that's a lot of temperament in there. Everybody's not that way. Some people are the most stoic people, but they're the sweetest of Christians. So that's not always indicative of what your face is, not always indicative of how you truly are on the inside. So I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that if you're in the Word of God and the love of God is all the way through this book, then that love is going to permeate into us. And it's going to sweeten us up. So, this evening, I ask you, are we letting that supply line of the Word of God get in us? The vast majority of the people that I'm looking at right now, you're saved. The law of the Lord, it converts the soul, the Bible says. You're saved. But are you letting it make you rejoice? It's what the Bible says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. I believe I meet many Christians out throughout the week, and they're saved, they truly are, but they're not rejoicing because they're not in the book, they're not feasting on the things that God has for them. So God's desire for you is not only to be saved, but then also be this joyful Christian. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And then the Bible goes on to say, not only does it make us rejoice, but it enlightens us. It opens our eyes and lets us see the things that we need to be seeing. And it also enriches us, but then sweetens us up. I pray that it's a blessing to you tonight. And I trust that you'll find yourself often, daily, in the Word of God. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Now, folks, here's what I want to do. I wanted to give Brother Abbott as much time as he wanted, and I'm so grateful that he's our way, came our way. But would you pray quietly, silently, while I pray aloud, that God would just bless him, God would supply his needs, God would give him safety as they head down to Florida. And we'll just all, as a church family, bind together as prayer warriors right now for this good man of God and his family. Would you do that with us? As they begin to play, they can play silently, but would you just, the invitation tonight, we'll give an invitation in just a moment, but the invitation right now is let's all bind together and let the Abbott family know that this church stands with them and behind them, and now we surround them in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would bless this good missionary family. Thank you for bringing them our way. Lord, I pray that you would supply their needs. I pray, dear Lord, that you would bless Brother Abbott's health. Lord, I pray that you would just strengthen him. And I pray that you'd give him safety on the way down to Pensacola as they go, and they'll travel around over the next little bit. And then after that, they'll travel to some churches, I'm sure, and then head back across the ocean. I pray, dear Lord, that you would get them back over there safely. Let them have sweet fellowship with their family while they're here. And Lord, would you please bless them for your good name's sake, dear Lord, we pray. As we continue in prayer, here's the rest of the invitation. Perhaps you're here and something about the Word of God pricked your heart this evening. And you're saved. You know it, but you haven't been rejoicing. The Word of God hasn't dwelt in you so richly, and you haven't been rejoicing like you should. Why don't you confess that to the Lord and just tell the Lord that I need to be in your Word more. I need to allow that richness to flow over me. Maybe you've not been enlightened like you need to be. Maybe you haven't. He hasn't been shining the light on the Word like he should. Maybe that's because we haven't been in it enough. And maybe you need those riches from God's Word and that sweetness. And if you're a Christian in here tonight and the Lord has pricked your heart in something Brother Abbott said or something I said, I just challenge you, my brother or my sister, to do business with the Lord. Just make that commitment, whatever he's leading you to do. And then we never like to close a service without asking. Perhaps you're here and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. I didn't preach specifically about that, but the Word of God teaches that every person needs to be born again, needs to be saved. Those are two ways to describe the same event, where you come to Jesus Christ and ask him for forgiveness of sin and trust him to be your Savior. If you need to do that tonight, I challenge you and invite you to come. Let me or someone take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that you've done that and heaven's your home. Would you stand together and make it easy on folks to get out if they'd like to come to the altar? We'll just have a time of prayer if you'd like to come and pray at the altar. It's open for you. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, I invite you to come and look into the Word of God with somebody that could show you how you can be sure that heaven's your home. Thank you so much. You can look this way. And we're going to ask the Abbotts, if you don't mind, to slip out to the lobby. And Brother Butch and Miss Margie, would you all mind going with them? You can protect them if somebody gets ugly. So, and Brother Butch is such a blessing to us here at the church as well, and to many other churches I know. But I trust you get by and let the Abbots know that you're going to be praying for them as they travel, and just praying with them, and as they drop their kids off, and asking God's for blessings for safety. So thank you so much for being in church tonight. Brother Daniel, would you come and pray for us, ask God's blessings on us as we head out, and have a wonderful week.
So much for a wonderful day in church today. We thank you for the service tonight and the encouragement that it is and was. Lord, I pray that you would bless our church family as we go. Help us to enjoy some time of fellowship together as we pass through these doors and get out to our cars. Lord, help us to linger and enjoy the company that you've pulled together today. And Lord, I pray you'd bless us as we go out and about throughout the week. Lord, help us to keep our minds set on the fact that people need the gospel. And Lord, I pray you'd use us where we go to encourage those that we come into contact with. We thank you for your goodness. You are a great and wonderful God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.